from the Psalms of David. Hear this, all peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak wisdom, the meditation of my heart shall be understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb, I will solve my riddle to the music of the lyre. Why should I fear in times of trouble, when the iniquity of those who cheat me surrounds me, those who trust in their wealth and boast of the abundance of their riches? Surely no man can ransom another, or give to God the price of his life. For the ransom of their life is costly, and can never suffice, that he should live on forever, and never see the pit. For he sees that even the wise die, the fool and the stupid alike must perish, and leave their wealth to others. Their graves are their homes forever, their dwelling places to all generations, though they called lands by their own names. Man in his pomp will not remain, he is like the beasts that perish. This is the path of those who have foolish confidence, yet after them people approve of their boasts. Like sheep they are appointed for Sheol, death shall be their shepherd, and the upright shall rule over them in the morning. Their form shall be consumed in Sheol with no place to dwell. But God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. Be not afraid when a man becomes rich, when the glory of his house increases, for when he dies he will carry nothing away. His glory will not go down after him, for though while he lives he counts himself blessed, and though you get praise when you do well for yourself, his soul will go to the generation of his fathers, who will never again see light. Man in his pomp, yet without understanding, is like the beasts that perish. The Mighty One, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes, he does not keep silence. Before him is a devouring fire, around him a mighty tempest. He calls to the heavens above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Gather to me my faithful ones, who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. The heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you. Your burnt offerings are continually before me. I will not accept a bull from your house or goats from your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the hills, and all that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and perform your vows to the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to recite my statutes, or take my covenant on your lips? For you hate discipline, and you cast my words behind you. If you see a thief, you are pleased with him, and you keep company with adulterers. You give your mouth free rein for evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I have been silent. You thought that I was one like yourself. But now I rebuke you and lay the charge before you. Mark this then, you who forget God, lest I tear you apart and there be none to deliver. The one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. To one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth, in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in right sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. Why do you boast of evil, O mighty man? The steadfast love of God endures all the day. Your tongue plots destruction. Like a sharp razor, you worker of deceit. You love evil more than good, and lying more than speaking what is right. You love all words that devour, O deceitful tongue. But God will break you down forever. He will snatch and tear you from your tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous shall see and fear, and shall laugh at him, saying, "See the man who would not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches, and sought refuge in his own destruction." But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever. I will thank you forever because you have done it. I will wait for your name, for it is good in the presence of the godly. The fool says in his heart, "There is no God." They are corrupt, doing abominable iniquity. There is none who does good. God looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They have all fallen away. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. Have those who work evil no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon God? There they are in great terror where there is no terror. For God scatters the bones of him who encamps against you. You put them to shame, for God has rejected them. Oh, that salvation for Zion would come out of Zion. When God restores the fortunes of his people, let Jacob, let Israel be glad. In chapter 53 it says, "For the fool has said in his heart, there is no God." That's God saying that those who say there is no God are foolish. And it truly is foolish to believe that there is no God. All you have to do is look at creation around you to see evidence of a creator. Look at the bus you're about to get on. How do you know that someone made the bus? How do you know that someone built it? Do you think that it evolved over millions of years and became a bus? No, of course not. You look at the bus, you see the design, and you know that someone built the bus. Or the sheriff's car over there in the distance. Did that evolve over millions of years, come up out of some primordial ooze, and become tires and metal and wires and cables? No. Obviously, someone built that car. Next time you look in the mirror, take a good look at your eye. Hundreds of thousands of light-sensitive cells, hundreds of muscles, hundreds of blood vessels, all working simultaneously, all working in perfect unison, all working without you saying, "I, it's time to blink. I, it's time for you to judge color and depth and distance." No, it does it automatically. Your eye can do in a split second what the most intricate camera cannot do. And that didn't evolve over millions of years. It was created in a word, in an instant, by Almighty God. So how did the heart evolve? What came first? What came first in the human heart? Was it the muscle? Was it the nerves? Was it the blood vessels or the arteries? Was it the blood? What came first? And how did the heart work without any one of those necessary parts? No. The Bible declares how creation came about. The Bible declares how the world began. The Bible declares how you were created. In the beginning, God. Do you know what the word universe means? It's a combination of two words. Uni, meaning one, and verse, meaning spoken sentence. Every time you look at the heavens and wonder and amaze at the beauty of the universe, and you use that word universe, you are saying one spoken sentence. And that's how life began, with one spoken sentence. In the beginning, God. And that same God who created the heavens and the earth, the same God who created you in all of your beauty and your intricacy of design, is the same God before whom you will stand someday and give an account. David, who wrote the Psalms that I read to you, understood that. And when we stand before Almighty God, when we stand before Almighty God, who is good, who is holy and righteous and just, He is going to judge us according to the perfect moral standard of His law. If you were to run down the street and break the law in front of the deputy sitting over there, they're going to get out of their car and they're going to arrest you because they are here to uphold the law. That is their job. They would not be right, they would not be good, they would not be just if they just turned a blind eye to law breaking. The same with the judge in the courtroom. If you were to stand before a judge having broken the law, and the judge says, "What do you have to say for yourself?" And you say, "Well, I think you ought to just forget about the whole thing. Here's $20. Let's just forget about the whole thing." And the judge accepted that $20. The judge would be corrupt. He would have accepted a bribe. He would not be good. A good judge is going to punish a lawbreaker. And folks, God will not be bribed either. You will not be able to stand before God and declare your own goodness or offer up your good deeds like a $20 bribe. You cannot do that. And God will not accept it because God is holy and righteous and just. Now, folks, if you wonder how God is going to judge or on what basis God will judge, all you have to do is look at a summary of His law, and the summary of that law is in the Ten Commandments. The first and foremost commandment is that you will have no other God but the one true God. Both the Old Testament and Jesus declared, you will love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Folks, if you have not worshipped God perfectly, in spirit and in truth, all the days of your life, if you've worshipped any of the false gods of the false religions in the world today, when you die and stand before Him, God will not see you as good. He will see you as a lawbreaker. If you've ever committed idolatry, God will see you as a lawbreaker. Now, you might hear that word and think, well, I'm not dancing around a totem pole. I'm not worshiping Shamu at SeaWorld. I'm not building something out of wood or stone or metal and worshiping it. But maybe you've committed idolatry of another kind. Maybe you've created a God in your own imagination to suit yourself. A God that is not holy and righteous and just. A God who will not punish sin. A God who will just turn a blind eye to sin. Maybe in your mind you're thinking, my God won't send anybody to hell. Well, I'd have to agree with you. Your God won't send anybody to hell if you're thinking that way, because your God doesn't exist. He's a figment of your imagination. He's powerless to condemn you, and He's powerless to save. Think about it. Millions of people, particularly in places like India, carve something out of wood, nail it on their mantle, build an altar around it, and they bow down and they worship it. It can't see, it can't feel, it can't think. It can't lift a finger to do anything to them. It can't lift a finger to do anything for them, but yet they worship it. That's idolatry. And if you've ever done that, whether in action or in your mind, you've broken God's law. The third commandment is that you will not take the name of God in vain. If you've ever used God's name to express disgust or excitement, or have used His name casually or flippantly or irreverently, that's called blasphemy. And the Word of God says the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes His name in vain. Folks, have you honored your parents? Have you obeyed your parents perfectly all of your life? I know I haven't, but yet God commands it. And if you have not honored your parents, then God will see you as a lawbreaker. If you've ever murdered anybody, God will see you as a lawbreaker. Now you might think, well, I'm okay there, I've never done that. But if you've ever been angry without cause, if you've ever harbored bitterness or resentment or hatred in your heart, then God will see you as a murderer. Because the Bible says whoever hates another person is a murderer. Have you ever committed adultery? Now you might think, well, I'm not married, so I can't do that. Or I've never cheated on my spouse. Well, adultery is more than that. Jesus declared whoever looks at another person to lust after them has already committed adultery with that person in their heart. God not only judges our actions, folks, but He judges the intention of our heart as well. That's why Jesus declared, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Better to go into heaven with one eye than into hell with both your eyes. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Better to go into heaven with one hand than to go into hell with both hands. God judges our thoughts as well. Have you ever stolen anything? Have you ever taken something that doesn't belong to you? It doesn't matter what your reason was. In fact, there's a verse in the Bible that declares that we feel compassion for someone who steals because they need something. But yet when they're caught, they will pay for their crime seven times over. The fact that someone might have a justifiable reason in their mind for stealing doesn't make them not guilty for stealing. If you've ever done that, God will not see you as good. He will see you as a thief. If you've ever told so much as one lie, and it doesn't matter what color you paint it, or whether you call it a fib or an exaggeration, it doesn't matter. The Bible says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Now you might hear that and think, well, that's a bit over the top. Why would God judge for something as small as a lie? Well, if I were to lie to a small child, it would be wrong. But the child's not going to be able to punish me. If I lie to my wife, I'm going to sleep on the couch. If I lie to my boss, I'm going to lose my job. If I lie to the judge or a police officer, I'm going to jail. It's the same offense, but the consequences are different based upon whom the offense is against. God is infinitely holy and righteous and just. Therefore, any sin against God is infinitely sinful, no matter how small we've made it in our mind. The last commandment is that we shall not covet. Basically, that means we won't want things that belong to other people. And in the end, it's another form of idolatry. You're basically saying, I'm not satisfied with what God has given me. God has not done enough, so I'm going to take or want what someone else has. Now, you might hear those commandments and think, all right, well, I'll admit I'm guilty of one of two of those, but I haven't done all of that. Well, that won't help you in the end. The Word of God says, whoever tries to keep the whole law, but yet stumbles in one point, is guilty of all of it. Now you might hear that and think, well, who then can be saved? Nobody's perfect. You're absolutely right. Nobody's perfect. I'm certainly not perfect. But yet Jesus said you are to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. And folks, God doesn't lower His standard. God doesn't lower His standard simply because we are unable to live up to it. That would be like going into the courtroom having been convicted of stealing a car and saying, hey, Your Honor, I really couldn't help myself, but a lot of people steal cars, so I think you just ought to forget about it and do away with the law against stealing cars. That's ridiculous. The judge isn't going to do that. He's going to punish you for stealing a car. Now, folks, if you die today and you stand before God and He finds you guilty of breaking His law because He is good, because He's holy and righteous and just, He must punish sin. God is a righteous judge. And if He finds you guilty of breaking His law because He's good, He is going to send you to hell for all eternity. And it doesn't matter whether or not you believe it. If you're standing before a judge in a courtroom, having been found guilty, and he says, I'm sentencing you to 10 years in prison, will it make any difference at all if you say, I don't believe you're the judge? I don't believe I'm going to prison. I don't believe I've broken the law. Is that going to make any difference at all? No. The convicted criminal has no say. It's up to the judge. And folks, I hope that concerns you. And that's why I'm here. Not because I want anybody to go to hell. I don't. I don't want anyone to perish in their sin. How can I say I care about people and then want people to go to hell? I don't want that. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm sharing this with you. And folks, before the good news will make any sense, I've got to share the bad news with you. And the bad news is that we're all guilty before God. We've all sinned against Him. None of us are good according to God's standard. And we're going to face hell if He finds us guilty of breaking His law. That's the bad news. But here's the good news. And this is what I want to share with you. And I hope you'll listen. Because your life depends on this good news. And here is the good news. God has provided one way to escape His just and His holy wrath. And it's not by declaring our own goodness. It's not by believing we are good. It's not by ignoring that God exists. God provided one way for us to escape His just and His holy wrath, and that was through the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. 2,000 years ago, God the Father sent His Son to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man and without sin. Unlike you and me, He never once violated God's law in thought, word, or deed. He couldn't. He was God in the flesh, the God-man, the sinless Lamb of God, born of a virgin, just as the prophet said He would be 750 years before His birth. About 30 to 33 years into that earthly existence, He voluntarily went to the cross, suffered and died a horrible bloody death on that cross, taking upon Himself the punishment we rightly deserve for violating God's law. Jesus said, "Greater love is no one than this, than he who lays down his life for his friends." For 20 years, I wore that tan and green uniform that those deputies are wearing today. Every 57 hours, one of my brothers or sisters behind the badge give their life in the line of duty. Every 57 hours. More often than not, it's for people who they don't know and people who don't care about them. But yet they do it. They are a human example of what Jesus said. Greater love is no one than this than he who lays down his life for his friends. And that's what Jesus Christ did on the cross. He died. He shed his innocent blood on that cross, taking upon himself the punishment that sinners deserve for breaking God's law. But it didn't end there. 3 days later, he rose from the grave and he forever defeated sin and death. He is alive today. And he will return at a time of the Father's choosing. And what God commands of you, and what God commands of me, what God commands of all people everywhere, is that we repent, that we turn from our sin, that we forsake our sin, and by faith alone, receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Buddha cannot save you. Buddha is dead. Muhammad cannot save you. Muhammad is dead. The millions of little wood tikis and false gods of Hinduism, they cannot save you. They are inanimate pieces of wood and metal. They can't save you. They're dead things. There's only one who can save you. The Word of God says there's only one who is able to save and destroy, and that is God Almighty. Jesus said, unless a person is born again, they cannot see the kingdom of God. And folks, you can no more cause yourself to be born again spiritually than you could cause yourself to be born physically. You didn't sit in committee with your parents and decide where you would be born, when you would be born, the color of your eyes, the color of your hair, the color of your skin. You didn't decide any of that. And the same is true about our spiritual rebirth. Folks, salvation is entirely a work of Almighty God. And God, who is rich in mercy and full of loving kindness, if He causes you to be born again, if He extends to you the free gift of eternal life that only He can give, if He takes your heart of stone and gives you a heart of flesh, then as a result, you will want to repent. You will want to turn from your sin. And by faith alone, you will want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Folks, the good news is that when you die and stand before God, if God has extended to you the free gift of eternal life, then instead of seeing you clothed in the sin, clothed in your unrighteousness and sin, He will see you clothed in the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. He will let you into heaven, not because of what you've done, but because of what Jesus Christ did on your behalf. So folks, please, I beg of you, repent, turn from your sin, forsake your sin, and by faith and by faith alone, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior while He has given you time. Now folks, again, I'm here because I care about you. I don't want anything from you. I don't want to sign you up for a church. I don't want your money. I just don't want you to go to hell. And that's why I'm sharing this with you. I have Bibles. I have New Testaments. If you like one, they're free. I won't ask for your name. I won't ask anything from you. I'm not going to put your name on a mailing list. I just want to put the Word of God into your hands. All you have to do is raise your hand. I will gladly give it to you and maybe just shake your hand and thank you for taking it. And if you do take one, or if you have a Bible at home, I want to encourage you to open it up to the Gospel of John, the fourth book of the New Testament, and see if what I'm telling you is true. So again, please, turn from your sin, repent, and by faith and by faith alone, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior while He's given you time. And again, if you'd like a Bible, just raise your hand. I'd love to give you one. Thank you for listening.